In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The sermon for the 23rd Sunday after Trinity is based on the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 22nd chapter. But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money." So they brought him a denarius, and he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" They said to him, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render to God the things that are God's." And when they had heard these words, they marveled, and they left him and went their way. Thus far the text, please be seated. Through his holy scriptures, God has displayed the sinful old Adam that everyone is born with in different ways. He has displayed this. The old man is displayed in parables, poetry, prayer, the Psalms, and in the historical narrative of real life events as well. In today's gospel text, it's the Pharisees and the Herodians who get the nod to reveal the sinful flesh that you still wrestle with. Through them, the proclamation of the Holy Scriptures continue to pour forth God's truth about the impossibilities of natural fallen man. Like the numerous times before, strewn throughout the Holy Scriptures, both the Old and New Testaments, there God is, right in front of them, and they miss him. Whether the old man wants to admit it or not, natural man is limited in his understanding. And when it comes to the things of God, they are spiritually discerned. So it's not a big surprise that those from our text today want to deal with God through earthly understandings. So they throw an earthly question his way. But notice how the God-man Jesus answers. It is twofold. It includes both the earthly kingdom and the heavenly kingdom. And in bringing in the heavenly, he points to himself, enraging the old Adam, who wants all things to revolve around him. Jesus' first response, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's," is what they were hoping for. It was what they were hoping to hear. They were hoping that their question would lead to either his yes, which would support the Roman occupation of Israel, thus going against the Pharisaical Jewish understanding of not having to answer to any other power, or that he would answer no, which would be a direct challenge against the Roman rule, thus causing the Romans to arrest him. That's why the Herodians were invited along to the test. Beware, however, when you ask God a question of any kind, for his answer stands as truth, whether it's to your liking or not. Jesus seems to have fallen for their trap when speaking of honoring Caesar. But then God continues with his answer. Jesus delivers a directive that is as simple as it is impossible. Render unto God the things that are God's. Well, everything is his. So give him everything. Talk about having no response to that. Who would have anything to say to that? Compare yourselves to this command. Have you given everything to God? A mirror is what Christ delivers. Look in that mirror. See your reflection. It is not pretty. For you have looked after yourselves. You have taken for your own pleasure what belongs to God. Don't try to trick him. Don't try to trap him with clever words. Do not think that you can distract him with what you think are complicated ethical questions about taxes or birth control or divorce or war or about living together outside of marriage or Sunday morning priorities and the place of the Word of God in your lives compared to entertainment and family time. He sees into your hearts. He knows your shameful pride, your reluctant strings attached gifts, your self-justifying lies, your vain posturing, your half-truths, and your deliberate deceptions. He knows your plotting ways and your shallow excuses. Who do you think you are while you remain in sinful flesh? Do you think that you are absolutely free? Do you think that you can do whatever you want? That you are sinless while you're not looking at Christ crucified? God knows what you are while you remain in your flesh, a sinner. Measured against this good law, this perfect wisdom, render unto God what is God's, who could stand? Repent. And that is not something that you do. It is God-created faith bringing you to abandon all the efforts of the flesh. It is God-created faith turning you to Christ crucified for you, for the forgiveness of your sins. The ways of men are lawyers and loopholes, double speak and politically correct talk. The ways of the old man are like the Pharisees, trying to outsmart God and trap him with his own words. But the way of God is the double-edged sword of the law and the gospel. It cuts clean. It slices open the hearts of men. It exposes them for the weak, dying vessels that they are. Men want to sit and analyze what they think is a deeper meaning. But this crushing law, this impossible standard, this render unto God what is God's, is laid up against the throat of your old Adam to kill him. And it kills in mercy. It kills so that the other edge of that sword might be laid up against your hearts. For the other edge is the free gift of God's grace, God's undeserved, unearned, impossible love, his perfect mercy for those who will never do enough. He empties you so that he may fill you with what is good, and that is himself. Man was made in the image of God, while Christ Jesus is the image of God incarnate. Christ is the image in whom you are remade by God's doing. What you could and would not render, God has rendered unto himself on your behalf. The Son of Man, born of woman without a human father, without inherited sin or corruption, with a perfect record, with a sinless and humble history, has rendered it all, even his life unto the Father, for you. The law will always say, do this, and it is never done. That is the law's intent, to reveal sin. It is preached in its sternness, not with the intent to increase sorrow, as if more sorrow is what God expects before he gives forgiveness. No, the law is preached to expose the old Adam, the old man who is hiding and striving to survive. Thanks be to God for the innocent one, the holy innocent one who has died for the guilty. Christ crucified has rendered it all, his life as the ransom for all of your iniquity, your debt, all of the law that you have broken is paid. You are free, but only as you are brought to live through what Christ has gained for you. As God brings you to repentance and belief in his merits alone, you owe no one, not even God, anything. That is how far-reaching grace is. Christ has done the rendering for you. Do you sense the release? Do you feel the boulder lifted from your shoulders? That is the gospel. That is what God delivers through his word and sacraments. That is how Christ crucified is your peace, your comfort, your joy. The way of God, the way of truth, the way of forgiveness is the way of the cross of Christ crucified. It is reconciliation that the Father has delivered through the death of the resurrection of the Son by the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is for sinful and selfish men who could not pay their own way. The way of God is no respecter of persons. It cares not for men's fleeting honors, titles, imagined glory, or level of sorrow. It does not play favorites. He died for all, for those good in the eyes of the world, and for the bad who make up everyone in the eyes of God. Christ died for bankers and farmers, for terrorists and racists, for workers and for the unemployed, for men and women, for adults and children. And as impossible as it all seems, he even died for West Coast Lutherans. The love of God in Christ Jesus is so great, so embracing, so blind, that it even encompasses you. Not in a generic way, not in the way that people love cats or chocolate or a perfect weather day, but in a deliberate, personal, individual way, as though there were only you. Bothering to take the time to number every hair on your head, Christ Jesus laid down his life for you. He laid it down even though he knew that a great majority of those for whom he died would reject him out of hand, afraid of what it might cost them. He died despite them for you. He accomplished the Father's will to save you by dying and rising in your place, because you, O unlikely man, are his beloved. You are his chosen bride. By the words that enter into your ear, by the watery death that you died at his doing at the font, by the power of a promise from one who cannot lie, by the very body and very blood that you eat and drink, you are made perfect, innocent, blessed, pure, chaste, undefiled, unblemished, debt-free. You are sanctified, made holy, made into his image, for you are his. There is no one who can accuse you. The law has been satisfied for you. Render unto Caesar what is Caesar's? Of course. You Christians are in the world, but you are not of it. You are brought to honor the government that God works through, as imperfect as it will be. Render unto God what is God's? Of course, you cannot. Through Christ, God has rendered all for you. From that law, that simple and impossible directive, you have been freed. It is fulfilled. It is finished. The reward is yours. And through his word and sacraments, Christ's image, his merits, his righteousness covers you. You are even given the God-created faith to receive his renderings as your own. Thanks be to God for the free gift of grace. Forgiveness of sins through the rendering of Christ crucified for you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.